The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Our London Lives is the new book by author Christine Dwyer Hickey. It is a multi-generational story about two people, Millie and Tip, as they navigate the complexities of love, family and guilt living in London across four decades. And Christine Dwyer Hickey is with us here in the studio this morning. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Anton.
Two Irish people living in London. What's interesting about it, though, is that being Irish is a characteristic of theirs, but it is not their defining characteristic. This isn't the Kings of the Kilburn High Road.
No, there are two outsiders. He's actually half English. His father is English and he was born in Ireland, went to London when he was three. His mother died and came back and went to boarding school in Ireland and spent a lot of time until he was probably about 20. He goes back and she's Irish and she runs away from home and she comes to London when she's 18. But they're different types. They don't fit into the Irish community. They're complete outsiders. And that's how I wanted to do it. I felt it was the only way I could tackle a novel about London.
And he's unusual as well in terms of typecasting, because though he went to Clongowes, which would theoretically mean posh boy.
It's not quite Clongowes. I did say to somebody somewhere like Clongowes.
Sorry, my apologies.
I was guessing it. And when I saw the documentary they did about Father Ferry, you know, they showed him when he went to Clongowes and I said, that's exactly how I imagined it, even though I've never been there. But anyway, that's how it came about.
But he goes to become a professional boxer.
He goes to become a professional boxer. He drops out of college to become a professional boxer.
The other thing that's interesting, and maybe I'm going too far in this, in reading it, you get the feel that alcohol is also a character.
It's part of it. It's a study. Some of it is a study. It's not all about alcoholism, about the recovery process. Pip gets out and his part of the story. It's in two sections, the story. It's alternate chapters. And we meet him in 2017 when he's 60. And he's just out of rehab and he really wants to have a go this time. And it's a struggle to do it because he knows if he goes back on the drink, he's finished. That's the end. And it just looks at what it's like to be an alcoholic.
But it also looks at how alcohol, its presence in broader society, because her time as a bartender or as a barmaid as then was, the people coming in who have been on the drive for a while and the way the drinkers behave and the role of alcohol in and around them all the time. Was it a conscious decision to say, I want to treat alcohol as a topic, or did it just arrive as you began to write?
It just kind of arrived, I think. But I mean, the very fact that she was in a barmaid, when I was young, after I finished school, I worked in that pub. The inside of the pub is different now, but the outside, it's a listed building. And like her, my circumstances were different, but I spoofed my way into the job because, you know, you get accommodation. That's really basically why you did it. And when I was there, it was such an experience. It was so multicultural, but you got to know, you see everything from behind the bar. You notice everything because people, of course, their volume goes up when there are a few drinks on them and they let all the barriers down. And you see the difference between the different class system. You see it with the different types of drinkers. And apart from practical things like the obedience of the English as drinkers, they come back and they leave as soon as the bell is rung to say they have to go home. They go home instead of having to shoo them out, begging them to go home, you know. But anyway, so you saw the effect that alcohol has on people. And also being Irish, I saw it. And also my own background, I saw it too. So it is kind of something that still affects people. And it still has a huge, on our society, whether it's the English drink a little bit differently, like they would come in and have three gin and tonics at lunchtime and go back to work. Where we would, if somebody did that in Ireland, they'd be spoofing. They'd ring up the boss and say, oh, I'm going to get knocked down so they could continue. They're either all or nothing, you know, unless they were really chronic alcoholics. But they just do that as a matter of course.
You talked about having lived in London years ago.
Yeah.
You decided to commit to your research and drag yourself and your husband back out there for research purposes for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just felt that London is such a vast city. I barely knew it, even though I'd been plenty of times for holidays and gone over to see my publishers and all that. And you really need to know what it's like to live in a city like that. And so to get the rhythm of the city and the smells and the sounds and to, you know, you see things differently when you're an outsider, when you're a tourist. And that's, Millie and Pip are not tourists, but they're outsiders and they're lonely. And I mean, I love cities anyway, but when you look at a city, any city, but particularly somewhere like London, you see people walking in this, the same direction, all separate, all have their own little thoughts, all have their containers of worries and their pasts and their, what the, you know, all the problems and everything they see and their observations of their surroundings. And that, I think, I felt I needed to be in the mix to see what it was like, listen to the accents, see the different people. It's so multicultural over there. We think we're multicultural here, but of course we're not. And I wanted to see all that too.
Must have also been interesting, because that was, what, 2017. So you're just at the end of the Brexit vote, the peak of all of that. That must have been an interesting
time. That was interesting. And my husband's a great man for sort of interviewing people on the bus. What do you think of this Brexit thing? You know, and none of them wanted to talk about it. None of them wanted to talk about it. They sort of, it was like it was out of their hands, which I found extraordinary. You know, if it was here, we'd be engaged in arguments everywhere. People would be talking about it. They'd say, oh, I just wish they'd get on with it. You know, that's all. And they'd dismiss it.
And was London very different when you went back than when you had lived there first?
Yeah. When I was there, you'd see the different class systems. All right. Now, where I was in the East End of London. And so it was very near Smithfield Market. And very working class in some ways. But the newspapers were nearby. So there was that kind of intellectual spin as well. But there was no poverty. There were working class, worked and they'd money. You were paid very well if you worked in Smithfield. Now, when I went back, I could see a lot of different type of poverty. People who went to the office every day, but they could see they were struggling. You go into, I began to notice in Waitrose and shops like that, that they dropped the prices at 6 o'clock, and then you'd see people, very respectable people, kind of slipping in slyly and sort of, you could see they were worried about money and worried about their futures and very, you know, the loneliness was there too. That lack of community. They don't mix the different ethnic backgrounds stick together, I think, quite a lot of the time. And they don't really mix as much as they could do. So there is a lot of loneliness that didn't exist before. And also there's this general air of, you know, gentrification. So that sometimes you didn't know what part of the city you were in. So you have a newly paved street with Leon in it and Pret-a-Manger and all the same shops. So you're thinking, where am I again? Oh yeah, this Shepherd's Bush, this is not, you know, so there is that too. That was a big change.
You mentioned as well the issues of class and class being a big theme in the book. Is the delineation of class a more rigid and more constant thing in the UK and particularly in London than it is here, or is it the same?
I think it's not. Oh, here we can buy our way into a class. You can buy your way up a class here. And, you know, our idea of what is middle class, they would think was probably just barely out of the working class. They just have this rigid system. But I mean, they don't, it's just understood somehow and it takes you a while to cop it. And London is probably, the city of London is different, I think, because it's all about business. You know, when I say the city, I mean the business centre. It's all about business. And, you know, as somebody said, that the best people to have working on the floor of the stock exchange are former barrow boys, because they can count quickly, they're savage, they're really fast thinkers. And so there's more mixing there. But generally speaking, I think it's different. Their middle class is different, and their lower middle class, respectable things, are very, very reserved, you know, very reserved, keeps themselves.
You started in about 2017, 2018 with the writing. You finished early 2020s, about 5 years in total to the book. When it is then finished, do you already have another in the back of the head, or is it great to just take a few?
You try to ignore it. You try to say, get away from me, get away, the shop is closed. But no, this one was such a big undertaking that I was pretty tired after it. And when I miss, because also you believe these people are real. You get to believe they actually exist, because I do everything from their mindset. I'm only in two points of view in that book. And that's one, Pippa and Millie. And I'm in their minds all the time. So you actually believe that they exist. So you miss them and you worry about them. And then gradually you come back to your sane self and you say, no, they're only letting on people.
But you don't mean that metaphorically. That is literal.
I actually miss them. You actually miss them and think, could I squeeze a bit more out of them so you don't have to leave them? But no, the time had come to end the book.
Lovely description on the front from Colin McCann. A profound love story like Barbara Kingsolver, Hickey captures the pulse of the living moment. The book is Our London Lives and the author is Christine Dwyer. Hickey, Christine, thank you very much.
Thank you, Anton.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.